Here we are in podcast 3 of Fears, Feelings, and Phobias, Classical Conditioning. Today we're going to be taking a look at the work of John B. Watson. How did he organize the elements of classical conditioning? If you did your homework, you know that Watson conducted a very famous experiment called Little Albert. In this experiment, Watson conditioned a child to fear white rats. So really what he did was he took the work that Pavlov had done and he saw emotions as being reflexive reactions in the human being. And he put the two together and really kind of said, okay, emotions can be conditioned in the human being. This was really a very serious and important leap in the field of psychology. Watson basically gave birth to the field of behaviorism. But one of the elements of behaviorism that kind of bothers me is that the behaviorists do not consider the mind in the equation at all. When you look at Watson's work, you see that the mind is notably absent in the equation. Personally, I think this is a huge mistake. But when you take a look at this theory, at first, I want you to use it exactly as is. I want you to try and use this theory to explain personal phenomenon or to maybe predict and set up experiments. Please don't try to induce fear in anyone. Use positive, good emotions of some sort. If you want to train yourself to feel emotional about something, that is my advice. And always use what you've learned here or anywhere else in a responsible, decent, and ethical manner. Okay, so let's take a quick look at classical conditioning through the lens of John B. Watson. If you're looking at the stimulus-response connection, you still have the unconditioned stimulus, unconditioned response, which again represents the natural thing. Only in this situation, you're looking at the emotion as being the unconditioned response. So in the Little Albert experiment, you're looking at the unconditioned stimulus as being the loud banging noise that they placed behind the baby during the time at the time of conditioning. The premise behind this was that the baby would naturally be fearful of this noise. Then they paired the animals with this loud noise, and the baby became fearful of the animals. What's most noted in the experiment would be the white rat. At least that's what's most commonly talked about when people refer to this experiment. So people will say Watson conditioned poor little baby Albert to fear white rats. When you're using this particular theory, classical conditioning, in the way that John B. Watson looks at it and put it together, you're going to leave out any additional step there. It's just straight conditioning, unconditioned stimulus, unconditioned response paired together, a neutral stimulus placed in the environment, and that becomes conditioned to basically elicit the same response, which becomes the conditioned response. So in this case, the animals were the conditioned stimulus, and the response, the conditioned response, was fear. So when you're practicing, I want you to look for things in the environment that would fit this particular standard. But I do have to tell you, once again, I think that there are many more things going on in the human system than are explained in Watson's kind of example of classical conditioning. Personally, I think Pavlov had it right, and I think his model of classical conditioning is much more detail-oriented, effective, and gets deeper to the base unit of those initial connections. Am I just nitpicking here? I don't think so. Because being a trainer for so many years and working with so many different students along the way, I've noticed that each and every one of them have massive differences, also very minute and almost unnoticeable differences. that need to be addressed in the training environment in order for them to move forward sometimes. To me, the more accurate you can get in terms of theory, the better usability potential that you have for the theory. So I don't think I'm being nitpicky at all. But we're going to stick with Watson's way of doing this, and you're going to try and tease this out and figure out how emotions can be conditioned using this very simple format before we move forward at all. And once you're done with that, we'll have our next conversation on classical conditioning and get into some of the usability potential for this in terms of trying to understand your own past and trying to help yourself maybe undo some of your past emotional experiences or retrain yourself to do better around certain things in the environment that represent emotional experiences for you. So that's the exciting part of this, right? And if you're really interested in seeing how I use this theory in conjunction with a number of other theories to create even better responses and experiences for myself and for my students, then you can purchase my workbook, as I've said before, by going to www.hollytown.com. That's HOLLITOWN. And link to the workbook for purchase. That's it for now. Go ahead and make your investigations and see what you find. And I will meet you in the next podcast.